You're listening to the Inspire Excellence Podcast, recorded at the BVA headquarters with your hosts, Bill Whitaker and Tommy Alquist. Bill is the former CEO of the J.R. Simplot Company and is now a full-time adventure seeker and philanthropist. Tommy is the CEO of BVA Development, co-founder of Crush the Curve Idaho, and most importantly, a full-time grandfather. Each episode focuses on sharing the stories of individuals who are changing the world.
Welcome back to another episode of Inspire Excellence podcast with Bill Whitaker. And today we are joined by a special repeat guest here. This guy is unbelievable. The voice of Boise, D-Mac, David McKenzie. This guy is a good friend. And, you know, it's funny, David, I couldn't wait to have you back on because I follow you on social media. It seems like you're everywhere. It seems like you're starting all these businesses. You're doing so many great things. And so Bill and I wanted to have you back on to get an update and just see how you're doing. So welcome on the podcast.
No, thanks for having me on, man. I think I've always been reposting the interview from 3 years ago. So now we can come back on for part two for a reunion. And I get to meet Bill.
And you get to meet Bill.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been looking forward to this. You know, David, he's been talking about you for weeks, if not months, and and so now all of a sudden I am in the present. So I appreciate that.
Bar's pretty high. Bar's
absolutely
pretty high, man.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
So for those of you listening out there, David came to Boise, played at Boise State, was a Boise State Bronco, and played on some great teams there. And learned a lot. We had talked about your last visit, about your football career. Actually, if I remember last time, David, I thought I knew you pretty well, but learned a lot about your family growing up, just your drive and work ethic. But like you said, it's been a few years ago. But I think why that podcast, and we've done a lot of podcasts, but literally that was probably the most shared, most viewed podcast, is you had some advice in there for young entrepreneurs, people that may be growing their business, or people that may be struggling with their career. I think you just knocked it out of the park. So we wanted to follow up today, and we'll start by asking you what you've been up to, because it's just fascinating always to hear what you're up to, and then we'll get into – we'll let Bill ask you the hard questions. He's the hard question guy, by the way.
Right. Well, to start, Tommy, I mean, that last clip, that was a couple of years ago, you know, even I was – with so much passion, I was still – figuring out where I wanted to do and where I wanted to go and where I felt, you know, God was calling me. And since then, things have narrowed down and things have started to make sense. So to kind of tell people what I do, I have my own business, David McKenzie Enterprises. And what that is I help businesses and brands, whether it comes to social media marketing, video production, email marketing, or if a brand or business needs a spokesman, I can be that voice of energy for them as well too. So I think what I really did value about being on here is, you know, one, just giving influence and giving passion and energy to young entrepreneurs, and two, truly following their calling, because I've been in this for a long time, since I was 5 years old, being in Barney and doing photo shoots and stuff like that as a kid. So when I played football, I always knew I was going to get back to doing what I've been called to do, which is to influence, which is to have fun in marketing and to bring energy to other companies and brands. So,
hey, Andy, let me ask you this, David. You were going so hard last time I met with you. What are some lessons you've learned in the last couple of years? Tell us what you've learned that may help someone out there listening.
Man, so many lessons. Well, one is to not be unequally yoked with somebody who's not aligned with who doesn't align with your values. At that time, I did that last podcast. I mean, I was, you know, on fire, young entrepreneur with some other individuals who didn't have quite the integrity or character that aligned with where I was trying to go. So since that time, I think any message to anybody is, you know, I know you're passionate. You might see this person's cool, or this person might have a cool concept, but who is this person deep down low? Who is this person within their family life and in their integrity? You know, what fruit is this person bearing each and every day? And as you see that, then you can align with that individual. So that's the main lesson I've learned, is I'm going to be equally yoked with the people I want to go in collaboration with, and I'm going to be equally yoked with the people I want to do business with.
Yeah, you know what? When you said that, it really kind of hit home, because I think it's whether you're an entrepreneur or even if you're with a company, and that company just does not share your values, just does not. You know, I remember. So I was with the Simplot company, and I remember the chairman, Scott Simplot, making the comment one day that one of the most important things we can do at the Simplot company is enhance the human condition, and that appealed to me so much that whether you're, and it's beyond being an entrepreneur. I mean, it's entrepreneurship. It could even be, you know, your politics. Let's don't talk about politics. And it could be anything that you're involved with, a sports team or whatever. And boy, when you said that, it just kind of rung a bell for me. That's important.
Absolutely. And I mean, to even add to that, you know, I come from a background of, you know, I walked on the Boise State football team. You know, all my friends were, you know, great players and NFL guys, and I didn't really get to play all the time. So I had to serve before I did anything, right? For 5 years, I was the guy, hey, I didn't make the bus, that's okay. I'm still here, we won. So when I came out of football, I'm starting my, you know, career now, that I have my base and foundation comes from servant leadership. So anything I do in business or whatever, I want to come and bring awesome passion and fun to that business. So if you want me to be the spokesman or whatever, okay, cool. I'm going to bring my presence and my network to your business, and it's been working. So if I'm with somebody who's, it's about them, and now there's some integrity, things are off, then we're going to have battles. And I'm like, I can't yoke in with people like that.
Hey, David, can you follow up on that for me? Because I love, every time I'm around you, we've talked a lot over the years. One of the things that drives you is other people. It's serving other people. I mean, it just kind of, I remember some of the quotes from the last time you were on your daily routine. And you know, you have a deep faith in God. You talk about that a lot, mm-hmm. about just the responsibility we have to serve other people. And mm-hmm. tell us how that really inspires the business drive you have. Because I do believe if, you know, Bill and I do a lot together, and we do some things with business and nonprofits, but I love the authenticity of wanting to help someone. And we were in a board meeting today together, mm-hmm. and I really felt that today, Bill, didn't you? When you heard a couple of the reports, you hear
it was really good.
Really, yeah. People that are really there for the right reasons, and it's so inspiring. So, comment on that for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's another thing I would say I've learned is faith doesn't have a backup plan, right? And faith doesn't, you can't compromise faith, right? So when I'm in what I'm doing, I'm in it. I'm here, and I'm dedicated to it. This is my calling. This is my stewardship. In a way, this is my ministry, right? So I'm serious about serving others. So that's one thing I really have learned as well, too, is, okay, how can I do what I'm doing with the gifts I bring to the table, and how that can align in business, how that can align in me helping you, you helping me, how can I exchange compensation? All of that are the things I have learned with that exchange. So I think it's huge for me to let any company I know that I work with, I think I've spoken for about 6 or 7 brands now, and every company I work for, I want to let them know, hey, look, you're not just getting the influencer who's posting stuff on social media because the guy has 20,000 followers. You know, you're getting somebody who's putting effort in because I want you to succeed. And it makes me feel bad if you're not succeeding and okay, wait, you're paying me to do it. No, I want us both to be in there. I want us both succeeding. And we've seen success through that because that mentality has been taking place and everything is done intentional, not just, oh, I'm closing the deal and I'm out. So if that answers your question.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's so, hey, so I'm thinking about you being a walk-on and at Boise State and what that means when you're a walk-on and you kind of wonder, you know, how long you get to stay. Do you get to stay? I got to maybe have to try a little harder or whatever. But being a walk-on's a big deal. But you, to some degree, after you graduated, do I have this right? You actually went into your entrepreneurial world at that point. And
absolutely,
you're a walk-on again. I mean, you're a walk-on all over again. And that, and you're going to have bills to pay, and you're going to, I mean, none of this stuff goes away. Mm-hmm. And that has to build incredible character. And you have to have this database of experience that you can call on now, and you're still a young guy. I mean, you're a lot younger than Tommy, so.
A lot younger.
No.
Hey, Bill, but aren't we all walk-ons? I mean, I love that, what you just said.
Good point.
Aren't we all walk-ons when it comes to business? I mean, anyone that started a new business, you have an idea, you think you believe in yourself, right? You have struggles and trials.
Well, I think you're right, because I mean, even with what you're doing here with Ball Ventures Ahlquist, I mean, to some degree, you're taking some pretty sizable investments and turn them into a hope and a vision, which probably makes all of us some level of a walk-on, but some people need more security than others, you've dealt with that, David.
No, absolutely, and that's one thing, Bill, that drew me to Tommy. You know, a friend told me, you know, when he was running, hey, you want to come, and he's speaking, it was at the House and Eagle, and I'm like, sure. And I heard him talk for 35 minutes. I just came back to National Prayer Breakfast, I think a month or two before. And I was like, I'm so bold after. Just go up to his team. Hey, let me help. I can do this. You know, I can go campaign. But the one thing that drew me was I saw, you know, a servant leader. I saw somebody who wants to be in the trenches. I've seen somebody that says, hey, look, not only can I have the success in business, but I've done that by servant leadership. I've done that by showing that. So it doesn't take long, in my opinion, to see somebody who has those true intentions. To me, it comes, you see it 10 minutes, okay, that person, that's where that energy is flowing to. And that to me was like, hey, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah, for sure. That's well, and so now the evolution of your entrepreneurship is you are helping others, you're providing servant leadership, but what you're providing more than anything is opportunities for others, and you're still learning from them every day, I'm assuming that.
Absolutely.
You know, I always tell people I've never met anybody that I can't learn anything, that I can't learn from, and I'm guessing the closer you get to your business activities, the more that experience database, it just goes into future opportunities.
Absolutely, no. And I think, you know, to even tag in your comment you said about being a walk-on again is, you know, being in a space like myself to where it's marketing, media, and in a way selling myself. For the longest time, a couple of years, I would always get asked by certain people, you know, what is it you're doing? And how do you get paid and all these things? And that's a lonely road sometimes, because it's like, if you have six or seven irons in the fire and others might not, some others might not have that capability of connecting with you or relating with what you're doing. So I think it was just overcoming that, one. And number two, like you said, I'm still learning every day of in the meetings that I'm in, and the deals that I get, but it's hard to say, but you know, I'm in this lane kind of by myself, but yeah, God is right. God is leading the way. And for me to be in a space where I can support myself to be me is, I think, something gratifying already.
Hey, Bill, if it's okay, we have a lot of people that listen to this podcast that are business owners, small business owners and business leaders. And one of the things, I don't know if we've talked about this on a podcast, but David, Bill Whitaker, as I've become lucky enough to be his friend and be around him in lots of different situations, he's probably the best listener. I mean this, Bill. When you're in a board meeting with you, if you're in a business setting where you're making decisions, sometimes difficult decisions, I watch how he interacts with people, and it always starts with sitting there and kind of listening taking all the information in. And then I'm learning now, Bill, I kind of look and wait, and then you speak. And it's I'm learning from you. And the point you just made, David, right, is we're never going to stop learning. And Bill just said this. Bill says, hey, every conversation, every meeting I go into, I'm trying to learn something. Bill, comment a little bit on because if people are listening to this right now, I just think we don't say that enough in a world where we're all driven and we're all right. And in the world we're in right now, everyone's right. I mean, there's just so much, you listen to the world we're in and there's so much combating of ideas and I'm right, you're wrong. And in the middle of this, Bill, you're this example mentor to me of, I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to take something from every conversation. So I hope that makes sense, Bill.
Yeah. Well, real quickly, but you know, what's, a little bit of a story. I had this guy that I worked with very, very closely, and he was really important to the Simplot company and to me. I used to call him the MVP for the Simplot company. And I remember telling him one day, I said, and I won't use his name, but, and I said, got to tell you that, you know what, you can be right all day long, but if you're not effective, it doesn't matter. I mean, and so much of the time he was driving the conversation with just being right. And when you stop and say, but what I'm really interested in doing is being effective. And I think that promotes listening, taking inventory of what's happening around, whether it's a table or a meeting or whatever. And then stopping and making sure that you understand, you know, all the thoughts and activities, you know, everybody's concerns and thoughts. And I think it makes for a much more effective circumstance, you know. And I joke, Tommy and I have talked about this before, I joke a little bit about the best conversation is 60-40, and I'm only 40%. And actually, I'd probably be just as happy with 20%, but that's not quite fair because it's got to be a give and take. But you know, I can sense that you read people, and that's part of what you do is read people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to add to that was amazing, Bill. First, and to add to that as well is like looking at both of you who have found success but still have the servant leader heart. It's so inspiring, right? And that's why I love these conversations, and that's why I'm glad we're doing a part two of this, is because that to me not gives me hope, but just gives me something also to look forward to. The way I can still treat people right, I can still treat people with integrity in what I'm doing, no matter the level of success, and being this person, no matter what state I'm in. Okay. Great deals have closed, but where is that state going back? Is it going back on a foundation, or is it going on a foundation that needs these things to fulfill who I am? So I love that. That was an awesome point.
Well, yeah, so, you know, one of the things I think about when an individual like yourself, entrepreneurship, you have to create an environment on a day-to-day basis of value for your clients. And at the same time, there have been times, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I'm assuming there have been times in your business career that you go, oh, wow. And there's been some low times. I mean, there's been some times you go, oh man, I worked so hard with this one account or these three accounts that I didn't go out and create some new business or whatever. It's part of being an entrepreneur. How did you deal with those? Because if maybe they didn't happen to you, but I bet they did.
No, I have to be honest with you, I have story after story of being down in the dumps of saying, what am I doing? Did this make any sense, right? Am I right? I mean, I have stories. That's why I have, when I speak to different companies, I always do a thing called, are you operating in the shallows or the deep, right? When you're an entrepreneur, you're in the deep waters, right? Now, which means you're treading water for your life, but miraculous things happen when you're out there. And I've had things where, hey, I'm living out of my savings, but I'm still giving to my church. I'm living living out of my savings, but I'm still sowing seed each week because I trust and believe in the calling that I'm in. And I've seen things reap and turn around to where, hey, I'm in this, but then years later, now I'm doing an event with Bob Costas. Now I'm doing something with Mike Ditka. So I've been out in the deep and I've been trained out there to say, I don't know what's going to happen, but I have faith that I know I'm here for a reason. And when you're out there and you know faith doesn't have a backup plan and you trust the person who's leading you, miraculous things happen. So I tell people all the time, hey, look, if you're expecting these things, you're still in 3 feet of water though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
But you're trying to have 20 feet water faith. And I'm not judging that person, but it's like gradually each day get out in the 5 and the 6 and the 7 and 8, and then you can be able to receive those bigger things. And over time, to answer your question, I've had those moments that has grown faith to where I've seen the miraculous happen despite circumstances. And praise God, we're out of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Until tomorrow, right, David? Because you just never know when it's going to hit you again.
Exactly right.
And, you know, I think that was a great question, Bill, and I loved your answer, David. But sometimes, to build on your analogy, sometimes you feel like you're in the shallow and, you know, things are under control and you've assessed where you are and it's a safe place to be. And then you can find yourself in those deep waters. I will tell you that for me in my life, it's been the deep waters though that have defined who I am, really. It is when you're treading water and you're looking around saying, okay, where's my safety net? Where's my who's throwing me the line? That you really define who your friends are and you really know about yourself. The lesson I always go back to, I'll never forget the recession of 08. You know, I had just got into development and we had leveraged everything. And I'll tell you, when Lehman Brothers shut down and still was in the air and bank loans were gone, and I looked at my wife and my family, I just thought, I've ruined us forever. And I remember one time driving home from, I was working an ER shift and I cranked up the number of days I was working. I was exhausted. And I remember driving home and just parking in the parking lot and thinking, I don't even have enough energy to get out of my car to go in my house. I'm just tired. And there was no hope. Mm-hmm. And I remember over the next few days thinking to myself, I've got to find the light at the end of this. I got to have something to drive to because I'm giving up. And I don't have any hope in my life. And I think that's where you turn to who you are and you turn to your faith and you look around and say, okay, I got to find solution. And then just like, I think that light chases away darkness. You say, okay, now I've got my pathway. Now I got something to focus on. I'm going to get through this. And then you get through it. You look back and go, I learned a lot from that experience. So I think for anyone listening out there that may be going through struggles or trials or real hardship right now, because there's a lot of people suffering. Those will be the times that you find out who you are, what you're made of, and most importantly, how to find hope and how to find that end. Because if you can find that in your life, and sometimes it takes a friend, sometimes it takes a miracle in your life where you're like, someone brings along and they help you get there. Boy, I'll tell you, you never forget those times. You never forget what you learned and you never forget the people that were there to lift you up. And anyway,
amen.
It's great. Because sometimes we get on a podcast, we talk about just successes and all the positive things that happen, but there are some big down deep trials you go through that define us.
It's interesting. One day I was being interviewed for something and in the process they said, do you have any regrets? And I said, well, yeah, I mean, anybody that says no regrets, I mean, I just never want to have a regret that I didn't learn something from. And if I have a regret that there wasn't a learning, then that's what I don't want to have in my life. And I think that's what we're talking about here among the three of us.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And, you know, first of all, thanks again, Tommy, for being vulnerable and sharing that, you and Bill, because like you said, there are podcasts that talk about the successes. But this is the real stuff, right? You know, I'm going to be completely honest. Like I said, from the last podcast to now, a lot has changed, and I'm not ashamed to share that. of those steps and those valleys that I've been in, and the hilltop that I've been on as well too. So I think the one thing that I also want to bring up is what got me through that as well too, is being around other individuals who have that same level of belief that I'm in as well. That reminded me in those times, hey man, I know this is where you're at. However, look what you've done here. Look what you can do that. You know, other people who are in faith with me, in the deep as well with me, who believe in the God-given gifts that I have helped me through those times to get out of it. Me and my friend have a podcast called The Power of Two. You know, when two or more are gathered, he's with us. So it's like, I need him in those times of, oh my gosh, here we go. I need somebody there to be like, hey man, step out of it. You can, you know, you can do this. So
that's great. Hey, David, changing the subject a little bit. I know you're helping companies right now, and you really are good at marketing. You're really good at the social media side of things. And I do know we have a lot of people listening, because I hear back from people when we do these podcasts that still have a hard time figuring that out. It's, you know, for Bill and I, older guys, just another generation, we understand. We understand how important it is. We get it. But it's hard. It's harder to get it and then know how to use it to make it an effective tool. And a lot of companies, especially during COVID, are having to reinvent how they reach out to people. Can you tell us what you're doing and kind of what you've learned, and what are kind of the three or four basic things that any company out there should be doing to take advantage of that tool that's there?
Well, yeah, I mean, right now you have, during COVID, you need to have a presence with online marketing, whether that's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, et cetera. But the one thing I would say is you need to create engaging content and relaying that engaging content with certain individuals in the community, right? That's how I've created this model that's successful, to where influencer marketing, if you have a product, you know, you use an influencer to promote your product, et cetera. But if you can flip that model and say, if I can take an individual, for example, like a David McKenzie, who has this platform and also can bring these tools to me with video production and things of that nature, but also he brings his network of individuals to my business. He has other entrepreneur friends. He has friends who are professional athletes. He has friends who are in startups, et cetera. Now he's bringing that network to me, and we get the social media side, and we get video production as well too. Well, my God, we've hit a grand slam. Instead of just saying, well, maybe we can just use some graphics and post that and whatever. No. You need to use somebody that can bring their network in and collaborate with them. Now you get the best of both worlds. So that's why I tell so many companies all the time, like, I think your aesthetic is great. I think what you're doing is awesome. But you can have a demographic of individuals of over 200,000 followers over a year time. Now you see the difference. I've had I have testimony after testimony of, you know, I go to a company, I post something, I do something engaging with them. A week later, six of my friends are going to them. 10 of my people are doing this with them. And then everybody's happy. Oh my God, you're one guy out of this state, hit me up. Yeah, because it's done right, it's done authentically, and it's done with integrity, and people win.
So I love hearing you talk about it, because trying to figure out how to capitalize on social media, I don't even have anything to market. So, but it really intrigues me to think that there's this kind of power in that iPad or iPhone or whatever. But one thing that really does hit me about you, David, is if somebody, I mean, I can see you being a motivational speaker. And I can see you on a podium or walking around on a stage as a motivational speaker. How much of that would you want to do? And would if I called you and said, hey, I have this, because here's the deal. First of all, I don't want to go out and get a big celebrity motivational speaker. I don't want to have Terry Bradshaw as things. I love Terry Bradshaw on TV. That's fine. But the point is I want a guy that talks like you do. I want a guy that has the experiences that you have, the real, serious, this is what I'm living right now and every day. So talk a little bit about motivational speaking and how you view that and how much would you ever want to pursue that?
You know, it's a great question. I have done speaking for a handful of companies that have asked me. I've came in and have done it, have done classes, courses, et cetera. And it definitely is a thing that I want to do and explore more. I've gotten asked multiple times, you know, to speak on podcasts, speak for different platforms. And I think that's, I want to pursue it, Bill, because I enjoy this and I enjoy being real, speaking from my personal experiences. For example, my girlfriend works for a company called Monet. They do hair care products, et cetera. And I got to speak to three or four of individuals of girls who are coming out of college, who are trying to figure out who they are and who their destiny is and what their purpose is. And it went extremely well, though, to the point to where I was hearing 20-year-olds, 19-year-olds saying, you know what, I found my purpose in your talk. I know my alignment now of where I'm going to go. Because I did a talk on stepping out of your boat and walking on water instead of calling others into your boat so it's comfortable, right? Yeah. But, you know, I can't call business and people here. I have to step out to get it, right? And then things will move and shift. So many people, you know, yokes were broken and things were not held back anymore because they finally knew, okay, no, I got to step out and do this. I can step out and get this. And if I align right, in line with my purpose, I can achieve these things. So,
yeah, good point.
David, let me ask you a question on that. Do you see with millennials, and I know we shouldn't sit and talk about the millennial generation like we do all the time, but I can't help it. I know my kids are going to get mad at me, but I think for that generation that grew up with devices in their hand all the time, I think the way they interact with other humans is just different. I mean, that's not anyone's fault. It is just different, right? And I think there's a lot of really good things about it, but I've noticed something recently in our own company, and I'm wondering if you're seeing this too, where there's a little bit of a hesitancy maybe to cold call, maybe to interact, maybe to have those real personal interactions. I'm seeing that, and I'm wondering if you see that too. And I compare that to my own life, where I think about, you know, when I was going through, I'll never forget, I was going through medical school. We were so poor, we didn't have enough money to buy food, me and my wife and my child. And I went and got a job as a door-to-door trophy salesman. And I literally went and knocked doors trying to sell trophies. And I think back, and I was not afraid one bit. I just thought, hey, I got to make money. I'm going to go do this. And it actually probably was for the hours I put in and the money I made. It was probably one of the best jobs I ever had to survive. But if I would have said to some of the guys here in my office, hey, I need you to go knock some doors, go do some cold calls, they look at me like I'm crazy. And is there a little bit of waiting for things to come to you? Your analogy of waiting for someone to get in the boat versus, hey, go out and find some business, go out and knock some doors, go do some cold calls, go meet some people. And I don't know if, Bill, if you've had a little of that same feeling, and maybe it's just because we're old crusty guys now and, you know, the Gran Torino, get off my lawn. But do you see that out there?
No, you know, yeah, that's right. Well, you know, seriously, of course, I mean, I sense the same thing. Now, first of all, I'm guilty of hanging on to an iPad and an iPhone in my hands all the time. So I'm guilty of that. At the same time, I think the evolution of depending on these electronic tools take away from some of the stylistic portions of being a salesperson or even a relationship builder. You know, I had somebody say something to me the other day that we're all going to go back to the office because we're a relationship company. And when we need to be together because we're a relationship company, and I sometimes I'm a little bit concerned that we're getting away from the relationship stuff and the comfort with that.
Yeah, and I think to answer both of your guys' question and comments is millennials, the pro and con with the millennials is. The pro is that we've grown up in a environment, society to where everything's at our fingertips, which means, okay, we can do things quicker, which means we have quicker solutions, to where some people might say this might take me 6 months, but we can do it in 2 months, right? Because we have these things. But the con of that is always trying to find the quick fix and the quick out, not having the process, right? So there's a pro of, oh, how many, I know I have several friends who are 23 years old making buku's amount of money per month because they know how to, you know, digital marketing, whatever. But the con of that is not enjoying or knowing the process, right? Now, I think to answer that is there are millennials out there who do have the drive, who do have the work ethic, and who right. do want to do it, and who do enjoy getting in the gambit and having the grit. You just have to you just have to align with them and find them, because, you know, for me, I'm a millennial, but I don't consider myself one, because I grew up, I was in sixth grade watching the Dean Martin roast with my dad and Johnny Carson, and you know, I'm a little different. I'm more of an older soul, but they are out there. I think more or less what you have to do is really be, you know, communicative and upfront with them to say, if you do this within this time frame, or 6 months or 8 months or whatever, this is what you can achieve. If you put the effort to this at this time, at this rate, each and every single day, you can go do it. Instead of might just be saying, hey, this is how you do it. Make sure you do it right. Okay, cool. Then that might be them in their seat thinking, well, how can I make a quick fix to do this quicker, get out of it? And if it's not working in 2 months, then
well,
I'm
and
out.
You know what? They might be smarter. Yeah. I mean, they might be right. So I'll give you an example. So my son's working here now at our company, and he's a smart kid. He went to the Business Scholars Program, University of Utah, and he's just really smart. So he started looking on how we were getting real estate leads. Okay. And he has built this system of this wide net he throws, and then it all funnels down into leads. And he's got it mapped out to exactly what it costs us per lead and what our close rate is on those leads and where people are looking. And it's this electronic net. And honestly, I get like 20 minutes into the conversation and my eyes glaze over and I'm like, what the hell happened to just picking up the book of lists and going to take every law firm in Idaho to lunch? And find out which one, you know,
right.
And he's like, what are you talking about? That's so old school. That makes no sense. You know, I'm going to use so I don't know. I just, I'm getting old, David. I'm getting old and stubborn and in my ways, I guess.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, to be honest as well, I even see a quicker group of individuals coming from the 16 to 19 year old generation, to where, you know, I'm mid to late 20s. But I see even there's some kids that are younger than me that I'm like, okay, what? How do you, you know, whatever. So and to be honest, I think this conversation, I think we're all right, because I think there's one end of it of saying, yeah, there's a lot of millennials out there who are really, really smart and can do things in their 20s. And you're like, how are you doing that? But the other thing is, I know some millennials that don't even know how to talk. They don't have a conversation. You don't want to have a conversation, you know? So it's just finding that innate individual. And typically for me, I actually have some guys work with me now who are high quality individuals. One's 19, one's 22. But these dudes are so entrepreneurial hungry. They're always creative. They always bring up ideas, and they're very, very talented. And I think the millennials that I think would be great in the workplace are the ones who have that entrepreneurial type of spirit, because they're willing to do and make the sacrifices to make everybody successful, instead of maybe the one who's just, I'm coming to get the job. Because yeah. I want the guy who, I like the people who can make big happen. And I love the feeling of, hey, I'm trying to do this video content. I'm passing that to you, and they can create. And I have so much trust in their creativity and what they can do. And they're glad I trust them that they over deliver. And the final product is fantastic. Right. So those individuals are the ones, I think, the entrepreneurial ones are the ones, I think, that are the ones that you can align with.
It's awesome. Well, we got to wrap up here. It goes by so fast with you every time. We appreciate you coming on.
Already?
Yeah, Bill. Yeah. Thank you very much for coming on, David. And we appreciate your friendship. I appreciate what you do for the community. I know you're a big community guy, and you're everywhere helping and serving and giving back. You're a great example to all of us, and it's been fun to have you on. Any other words, Bill?
Well, the only thing I know is I wish I would have had a notepad in front of me and quoted. I'm going to listen to you again, and I'm going to write down a lot of your little short one-liner type stuff because they're important. The other thing is I think it's really important is over the next 3 or 4 months, Tommy needs to take the three of us to lunch and by the way, because he has a job and I don't. But seriously, if we need to go to lunch because I want to meet you in person. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
I would absolutely love that. And let's definitely do it. Tommy will pay.
That's an easy commitment. We'll get together. This COVID thing's almost done. And David, you keep doing great things and changing the world. We appreciate you. Thanks for being on again with us. And we'll look forward to the next episode with you. So everyone have a great day and we'll close this down and go find something that inspires you and share it with someone else. Thanks.
Absolutely. Be blessed, guys.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Inspire Excellence Podcast. We hope you've heard something today that will inspire you to make a difference in the world. Join us again for our next episode.